Okay, hello. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, fuck. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm your dude, Josh Accardo. I'm the host. I'm doing the show. I do the show. You know, I do it. Very, 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 very fun show. It's a good show. My guest is a very attractive, very well put together, smart feminist. It goes by the name of Graves. She's a model. She does a number of different modeling type situations. Suicide Girls, standard modeling. Very, very nice girl. Also very fucking hardcore. Hardcore in the sense that she actually goes to hardcore shows and fights people at the hardcore shows, punches people in the face. This is no slouch, okay? So if you're some construction guy on the street and you see her walk by, do me a solid. Don't start screaming like you want to bang her or whatnot. She'll fucking do some damage. I met Graves because we were thinking about working on a project together, and I, after talking to her for a little bit, I realized, oh, she'd be great on the show because she has really no buffer. And on top of that, she has tons of strong opinions, not only in regards to feminism, yeah, I said that right, but also life in general. She's the first, probably the closest to a gypsy I've ever met, which is kind of cool. So we got to talking about that, which was nice and fun. And it was the night of my famous festival, my famous party festival, where I only invite 7 people total for the whole weekend. Joshapalooza. So that made it a special night as well when we recorded this show. So it's just unique and rare all around. And I think you guys are in for quite the treat. So check her out. I'm a lucky dude. I'm a very lucky man. But in the words of Billy Zane from Titanic, I make my own luck. And you all know this because you listen to the show. But I am so lucky today. More lucky than usual. Because I'm going to call her my really good friend. Because we are like 2 peas in a pod. she's a model. She's an actress. She's really cool. Everyone say hello to Graves. Graves, say hello to everybody.
Hey, everyone.
So, little context for the audience. I've been looking to like put together some projects, yada, yada, yada. I've been reaching out to some people, stumbled upon you, and now we're like BFFs.
Yes.
Now, this is the first time we've ever met in person. She could possibly not like me. This is something that is very possible, which I don't see how it could be, because I'm very charming.
Yeah.
Very dapper, very good looking.
Don't worry. You're fine.
I'm not worried. Just telling the audience, the radio show, so I have to tell them. So where do I start? The thing is, I know so much about you, because we talk so much, that you have this really interesting life, and now I have to find an organic way to get to it, even though I kind of know it already, which is fucking stupid. So you grew up, you split time between Connecticut and California, correct?
Yes.
So where were you born? You were born in Connecticut or born?
Yeah, okay. I was born in Connecticut. And then we traveled back and forth because I have a lot of family in California.
Okay. And what part of California?
Marin County.
So you're like from, your parents are like hippies, right?
Yeah, they're like super hippie.
Really, really hippie.
Mm-hmm.
And your upbringing's like pretty stellar in the sense of the freedom and very liberal, I assume?
Yes. There was lots of freedom.
what's something that you can recall that it didn't occur to you in childhood that you were like, wow, a lot of my friends don't have this. You know how, like, for me, I remember growing up and sharing a room with my whole family, one room, and not knowing, like, that we were broke, right? And then as I got older, when I saw other people's families and whatever, I'm like, you got your own room? Yeah, you don't share a bed with your brother? So that's, like, stuff to me that I remember being like, oh, I'm kind of different.
Yeah.
Did you hang around with a lot of people that were liberal, like hippie parents, like your parents? Because Marin County is kind of like, it's very beautiful.
Well, there I did, but here, Not so much.
Yeah, in Connecticut.
Right, yeah, in Connecticut. Sorry.
We're in Astoria, Queens, but yes. So you understand logistics.
In Connecticut, it was always just so normal that it never made sense to me why people were freaked out by weird things that my parents did.
Like, what kind of weird shit did they do, though?
Well, they were just, they're very, they like to party. That's it. They really just, they love to have a good time. They always invite people over our house. Like, mm-hmm. there was always people in our house.
Yeah.
Whether they were family members or friends. And it kind of, they would invite my friend's parents all the time and it would weird them out. And
what do you mean?
People are very closed off here.
Oh, here. Oh, yeah. So you're saying when you moved back, their ways became kind of like on the fringe here.
Yeah.
Out there,
yeah,
not
yeah.
so much here.
No, here is weird.
Were they nude a lot? Were they like smoking dope around the
Well, they grew a lot of weed.
Okay.
So we knew what it looked like as a, I have a little sister, but yeah. We knew what it looked like really young.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't bother us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my friends would come over and be like, what's that skunk smell? And I would just know that I'm not allowed to say what it is. But...
So your parents like, hey, do me a favor. Don't tell anybody that we're growing mass quantities of weed.
Yeah. I mean, it was never said, but we knew not to say anything.
So that's like, when you say your parents were kind of different than other parents, that's kind of one of them. We're like, they're...
Yeah.
Because they're not like they're irresponsible parents. It sounds like they raised you pretty well.
Well, yeah, they wanted me and my sister. Neither of us were mistakes.
Sure, they tried for you.
Yes.
They slipped them past the goalie on purpose.
Exactly. But they're just teenagers. They're just teenagers perpetually.
Do you feel like you're the adult?
All the time.
Really? See, I feel that way with my... That's like a big thing is I know I'm the adult in my family,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. Like, since the time I'm probably 12, I'm like the adult.
Yeah.
That is fucking taxing, though. For me, it was.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it, for you, it must have been.
It definitely is.
For you, for the people that are listening, you're going to Google Graves. I know you are. but you're not doing it now because you're listening to the show. Great. But she has, like, all these tattoos. She's kind of badass looking. You would think, like, that probably... That helped you develop into what you are today, having to be an adult all the time, even as a kid.
Yeah.
That's stressful.
Yeah. I mean, the tattoos and stuff, everybody thinks that it's a rebellious thing.
I'm no, like, I didn't even mean that.
Yeah,
but you have a certain look
that you're growing,
that you do. That's you. You're being
mm-hmm.
true to yourself.
Right.
It's not like you got a bunch of tattoos to fit in with some subculture.
Right.
I mean, right now,
right.
everyone has tattoos, so now you're part of the mainstream if you're looking to do that.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying is I think, like, just from my point of view, from what I went through, I think being an adult was so brutal when you were young that as I got older and actually became an adult, I was ultra responsible, but then at the same time, very careless about other things.
Oh, yeah.
I was super careless about sex, even though I always had my rent paid. Like, it was always a weird balance for me. It was
yeah.
like, I'm doing all kinds of dumb shit personally sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But always finding a way to make it work out so it doesn't fuck up my adult shit.
Yeah. I mean, I destroyed my personal life a few times, but mm-hmm. I always had my rent paid.
Sure.
Or
right?
I had a car to live in.
Or had I had a job
yeah.
or two or three jobs.
Yeah.
So you have been, we're going to go all around here. I'm not going to go in order because this is the way I'm doing it tonight. So deal with it, everybody. you were like destined to never have a stable job.
Yes.
So you were a fortune teller.
Yes.
How does anyone become, does anyone can walk, would you walk into a tent like in Wizard of Oz and you're like, I need to be this, and then you get an apprenticeship? Like, how does it work?
I worked at a carnival one summer.
Mm-hmm.
How
do you even get to a carnival, though?
Well,
how
it was
old are you?
It was the rides one, when they just have rides and they set up in different cities.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked.
So like when Josh Baskin and Big, when he fucking asked Zoltar, that was you.
Yeah,
you worked there. You
I
set
was
that
a
up.
Carny for a little while. I thought it'd
You're
be really
actual
cool.
Carny.
Yeah, I really was like obsessed with Coney Island for a little while. So I was like, all right, let's get into the freak show
yeah.
stuff. And I thought it was the closest way to do it. It was nothing like that at all.
So you had illusions in your head of, I'm going to be with the bearded lady.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be with the dog-faced boy.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, you're with Skeeter, who has seven teeth in his mouth, and he's trying to finger you.
Yeah, he's got 16 knives on him.
And are you learning to put up the rides?
Yeah.
So you know how to, like,
never
put up a fucking...
Things. Don't ever get
yeah,
on
Yeah, they're
one.
Rickety, right?
No, like, don't ever get on one.
But they do it all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
And do people die or, like, get neck injuries? They must,
they
right?
Get, a lot of people get injured.
And the insurance, I mean, it must be crazy.
I have no idea what the insurance is, but I know
So
that...
they, how old are you when you're doing this? Like, 20?
No, I was, like, 16.
So you're a teenager.
Yes.
And you just say, hey, weed mom and dad. You're my weed parents. I need to go be in the carnival. And they're
The first one that I worked at was a local one.
Oh.
And then from there, the guy who ran it, like I became friends with him and his wife. And he has a friend who lived in Maine who had a carnival that was traveling. And it was more what I was looking for. They still had sideshow.
You wanted to run away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
In a controlled way.
Yeah.
Be invited to run away with somebody, some corporation, if you will. Some team of flunkies.
Exactly.
As yourself. But you go to high school, I assume?
Yeah.
How the fuck you pull that off?
Well, I this is a few years later.
When you were 16, you worked at this thing locally.
Yes.
And then as the years have gone on, you became...
At 18, I worked at the one.
Okay. So rather than go, I need to get to college.
Yeah.
I'm very salivary. I just did that. Need to get to college. You were like, nah, I need to go to the carnival.
Yeah, I mean...
Did you go to college?
I did go to college.
Just not at that moment.
No, I...
You hit pause.
Did things backwards.
Don't we all?
Yes.
All us real people.
Oh, that's really fun.
The real people. Exactly. So you're in the carnival. You got, like, fucking wrenches. You got the that sounds not handy. I am. He got the wrench and the sockets. And you're putting together these terrible rides. And then at some point, there's a fortune teller there that you befriend, I'm assuming, or?
So the one in Maine, I walked in to, it was like a motel, and they had a community room. And I was telling you about the monkey that I won playing a game of poker.
Yes, yes.
So
I remember you saying that.
So the first night I played poker with all of the people that...
This is like one of those back room...
Oh, yeah.
...carny poker. Oh, that's awesome. It's like Pee-wee's Big Top.
And there was only one other girl my age, and so she and I became friends, and I didn't want to stay in this motel because it was creepy. Mm-hmm. So this older woman...
What do you mean? So they put you up in a motel and you don't like it?
No, you can stay in the motel if you want to. People have trailers. It's a real traveling thing.
You really are, like, carny.
Yeah. It was so creepy.
You're a fucking gypsy.
I know. So this woman took pity on me because she could tell that I wasn't used to gross, grimy motel rooms. And
sure. How gross was it?
It was really nasty.
What was nasty about it?
There were bugs everywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
It looked like a murder scene.
I once stayed at the Riviera Hotel, and legit, there was a turd left in the toilet. This is how old, and then there were peanuts under the bed that probably were there when Don Rickles was performing. Like, that's how gross the Riviera is.
Yeah.
Get it together. Is it even up still?
The sheets are crusty.
That's what the motel was. Was it stinky?
It smelled like smoke, which is fine.
It's like you're laying in the beard of your future boyfriends.
Yes, exactly. It was beautiful that way. So this woman took pity on me and let me and the other girl stay in her trailer with her.
Is it a small trailer, I have to assume?
Super small.
I don't know why I asked that. Most trailers are small.
But it had these two couches on, like, either side. So we stayed on the couches, which was fine with me because I was used to sleeping on couches. But and then she decided that she was going to teach me how to be a fortune teller because that's what she did. She was a fortune teller.
Mm-hmm.
And she...
This is the old lady.
Yeah, the older lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she's she's really good at it. Like, she's a really good fortune teller. She walked into the room when we were playing poker, basically picked me and this girl out, and we're like, nope, you're coming with me. Like, you're not dealing with this. Come with me. We're going to the trailer.
So she took you away from the carnies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, they're really creepy guys.
But how creepy? Let's establish creep.
They're really...
Because that's an abused word now. Women abuse that word. Not you, but, you know, young women.
Yes.
Okay, creep. I was saying hello. Okay, creep. I'm just... Okay, creeper.
I mean, I'm sure they all had warrants out in several states.
I feel like you don't get into the carny industry unless there are some warrants out for you.
Yeah, that's true. There were a few people closer to my age that you could just tell that they were just being adventurous, and it wasn't as creepy as the first carnival I'd worked for, because this one really attracted people that were into the lifestyle.
There's a lifestyle attached.
The quote-unquote lifestyle. There was a freak show attached to it. So.
Okay. And that's what you really wanted to be involved with. And why? What did you want to do with them?
I think, like, in a past life, I must have been a bearded lady or something. I'm pretty convinced.
As you get older, you might realize that. I heard hair grows in weird places for people.
I guess.
Hormones act different when the change comes.
Let's hope it was a passport.
Let's do the show in 40 years and let's see if you are the actual bearded lady.
Maybe I will be.
So you're like obsessed with the freak show, but then over time you end up with this lady. She's like, no, I'm taking you under my wing.
Yeah.
You're going to be a fortune teller. Yeah. And there's an actual art form, obviously, which is interesting because it makes sense. There should be an art form for it. But I guess when people hear fortune telling, they go, oh, you're going to fucking rip me off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which you do. Don't get me wrong. Like, okay. I rip people off all
Everyone's
the time.
Everyone's seen Wizard of Oz.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's two Pee-wee references if you're keeping score at home. Two. So you're with this lady in her trailer and you're learning the fucking ropes.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's really cool and it's super intricate.
What's cool about it? I don't want you to give any secrets, but what's like...
Well, I mean, a lot of what you read in people's like tarot cards has mm-hmm. to do with what you're seeing in the
cards. So tarot cards, those cards where they like put all these weird pictures of things, and then if they lay it out a certain way, it depicts what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm trying to give a gist to everybody.
If you put it in a certain order, it'll tell you like where your past is, what hardships are coming your mm-hmm. way, or at least an idea of what they are.
Okay.
So I learning how to do that, like every time you look at a card, it could be different mm-hmm. depending on the day. I mean, they all follow a basic storyline, the Fool.
How does it get different? Depending upon the day. Like how you feel, like if you're in a bad mood that day, you're like, fuck this fucking guy.
But I mean, the Fool always means what the Fool means.
Okay.
But depending on the day and the person, you can see like there's hills
how
in the
that
background.
Would associate with that person.
There's more feeling in it than mm-hmm. there is anything else.
So you're a gypsy type of person at this point. You're in your teen years.
Oh yeah.
And you're very gypsy. And not that you don't have a home to
go
to.
Right.
Are you escaping home? Because you're just like, I'm done having to be responsible for everything here, or not that you were responsible for everything, but you know what I mean. I don't know.
They moved back to California, and I being the genius teenager I was, stayed here for a boy.
Ah,
and
the old boy thing.
Yes, and that exploded in my face.
But doesn't it always?
Yeah, every time.
It's funny because you live like a heroin addict, but you're not a heroin addict.
I know.
Like your life trajectory, if I looked at it on paper, like, oh, you used to be a heroin addict. No, 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 I didn't.
No.
Not me.
Yeah.
Because you've lived in Spain, right?
Yep,
you've lived in Spain. You've been stranded in Paris. I mean,
yeah.
It's a 45-minute show, so we can't go into every single detail, but I want to give them the cliff notes of your life, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty. But you have been all over the place, almost unnecessarily, just for the ride.
Yep.
Not like you were chasing some... What are you... Everyone's chasing something. What do you think, if you had to say that you were chasing... What would that be for you?
I think I'm chasing the story, honestly.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, like, no, there is no good story without motivation, right?
I don't know. I have absolutely no desire to live a boring life.
Yeah, but you're not a boring person. You could be laying in a bedroom all day and it wouldn't be boring.
But that's not true.
Very true. I've known you enough to know that I'm exaggerating, but you could be in a room and you could probably figure out, because you would lose your mind. You'd probably start arguing with yourself. You'd be screaming. You'd probably give yourself your own tattoos. Like you would come up with something to do where you'd be like, oh, that chick's different, right?
Yeah.
So saying that you don't live a boring life, it's not going to be possible because you're not boring.
Okay.
So what are you seeking then? Chasing and seeking are two different things.
Yeah. I don't really know. To be honest, I couldn't give you a real answer.
So you're
answer.
Seeking to know.
Yeah, something. I've always felt like the fish too big for her pond, you know? Like, goldfish grow to the size of their container, right? And I would...
But you don't stick around long enough to grow. You bounce.
No, but, I mean, there's growth in leaving.
There's growth in not dealing with anything and walking away?
Exactly.
I don't know if it's for sure, but I'm going to let you ride with that one.
There's growth in leaving.
We had this discussion through text about being still, very brief, and I was thinking about it. Being still, because what I was telling, you know, when we were talking over text, I was telling Graves that, yeah, you know, that's what my family used to always say to me, you have to be still, because I move around a lot, and I'm nuts, like, this is when I'm a little kid, and but it hits me now at 35, like, oh, it's actually a beautiful art form to learn how to be still.
Yeah.
I love... Now that I have that muscle where I can actually be still, and has nothing to do with things being okay, because nothing's ever okay for me. Ever. I'm sure for a lot of you too, but really for me it's not. But sitting still and being able to let the chaos, like, kind of go around you and dodge it, like, flow it, that's a pretty beautiful thing. Are you capable of being still?
Yeah.
You are.
I am.
It's very convincing the way you said that, too, by the way.
I'm good at deflecting, I think. That's a good
one. You're a champion at deflecting.
Yeah.
But that's like a...
But, I mean, in every way, deflecting other people's energies, deflecting things I don't want to deal with, obviously. And I can stay still and not deal with anything and really, like, take care of myself. I think that's the best part of growing up the way I did is I can take care of myself better than anybody.
Sure, sure. Right? But at the same time, I only could only speak this direct with you because I feel like I know you, and also I feel like we come from similar places. What I learned is, you know, that I am definitely somebody that could fucking handle myself. But at the end of the day, I wasn't letting many things in because you just don't do that
right.
where I come from. Or if you do that, you're fucked. Like, it really ruin a whole month for you. Easily a whole month, maybe a life. And that was the hard part, is trying to figure out, because that's the only time you ever get any nutrition from something, right? If, like, oh, I'm going to let this in
right.
and figure it out. I'm going to let this sting to the bone for a little bit and see if I can sit there. You don't let shit sting. You're like, nah, you know, I'm not going to deal with you right now.
Well, I mean, it's just a defense mechanism.
Sure.
You know, like, you just sit there, you be still, you let things bounce off of you, you kind of let the wave pass, and then you pick it up afterwards.
You got a shitty temper, though, too.
I do have a shitty temper.
There you go. So that's you acting out there. Of all that stuff you say bounces off you. I have a feeling it sticks and you just don't notice it. And then you let loose all this shit that's been sticking to you.
I mean, yeah. I guess that's true, too. I do keep it together really well.
No, I would attest to this. I'm acting like I know you for years. I feel like I have. But yes, you have to, though. Like, okay, so you operate on a level that many people can't operate on. You're doing a million things 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
Of course, there has to be something in you where you're like, I can put this in the compartment it needs to go in, and I'll deal with it
right.
when that moment comes. Right?
Exactly.
And I feel like that's the kind of life you've led thus far.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny because you're really into hardcore music. You are a carny. It's almost like you're destined to be around men that don't shower. Like, that is your M.O.
True. I think it's kind of... comforting to be around really horrible smells,
and it's like and it's all dudes. There's like very like limited female interaction.
Oh, that's true. But that's why I treasure like my girlfriend so much, because at least they can deal with
you have
being
those
a fucking weirdo. Yeah,
because I was telling her, I PC Death Squad, those of you that email me, yes, that's right, I was in that in 2002. My buddy John Lockjaw and I, and when you're like, yeah, I'm going to a hardcore show, I'm like, you're like a really pretty chick. And I just remember those shows being fucking brutal, like just B.O.
yes.
in a room. We did a show once at the University of Maryland in their radio station, and they put us in one of the studios, and they took out all the shit. And it was a really small, probably like as big as my like this area of my apartment. And I remember just being just me, the band, and then 50 dudes, fat, stinky, bearded, bigger dudes. And by the third song, it was like B.O., just B.O. wave hit you
everywhere.
In the face. And they're punching each other and jumping and thrashing. And then when you're like, yeah, I'm at a hardcore show, I'm like, ah! Just fucking throwing hands at the hardcore show.
Yeah. Or I'm mostly dodging really sweaty people, because that's like really where I draw the line. I don't want to touch other people's sweat.
I don't want to touch anybody unless it's really getting down to it.
Well,
unless there's some real
true.
Magic's going to happen. I'm about making the ice cold memories tonight and every night, and that's when I touch people. It's when it's really going to happen, not when they're sweaty.
No. It's
so gross. I love how I let things just bounce right off of me. Meanwhile, your form of music is like the most aggressive music. You're screaming at people all day.
Yeah. Well, I stood really far back this time because I got kicked in the face in February.
You can't afford that,
man.
Yeah. Not in your line of work.
I was like two broken noses in 1 year. It's probably not
good.
Not good.
Yeah. Not so. Good. So you're Israeli, and what else are you? What's your ethnicity?
Italian.
You are Italian?
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. My mom's side's Italian.
What kind of Italian?
They're from a small town called Foggia.
Like northern Italy?
No, it's southern Italy. It's near Naples.
Is your mom an attractive woman?
She is. I think she's pretty. She was my, I don't know, the woman I tried to look like most.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like we...
Oh, in life. You mean, even through pop culture, that was, it was still your mom for you.
Yeah, for a really long time.
See, that's really cool, I think. I don't think a lot of girls these days have that. In a, you know, I mean, maybe they do, but I don't know. I feel like... Here's one of Josh and his famous tangents, everybody. I feel like with social media and how we're so obsessed with it and how we're, like, always looking at how to keep up with whoever's posting because it's just one big bragging... It's one big bragging timeline of everybody, and everybody's miserable. Still, look at – okay, everyone, go to your social media. Pick someone you think has a great life. They have a terrible life. There's no way around it. They're fucking dead on the inside. Trust me. I don't feel like there's many people looking up to their parents like they should anymore. It's. I think that's something that happened maybe in the 90s and before that. But not now. I don't know.
They're, like, they're the most in love in the I've ever seen anybody be.
It's really?
Kind of, I think that was the thing that fucked me up most. Was,
oh, their happiness fucked you up?
Yeah. No, I mean, they are true soulmates.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing that gets...
So you're saying it's hard to live up to that.
Yeah.
There's, or had to find
you,
that.
You can't live up to that in this world, especially with social media.
Sure, like, sure.
Tinder and all this bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't exist.
You ever been on Tinder before?
Yeah.
You like it?
No.
See, your parents are, like, one of those couples that just... You were there's nobody else in the world but for you than that person.
Yeah, that's who they are. And... Even we couldn't come between them.
Mm-hmm.
Even we, like, as their children, couldn't break through that barrier. Like, it was always them against us.
In what sense?
Well, my mom is a little bit crazy.
Okay.
In a great way.
So what's that way? I've yet to meet the good crazy in life.
She's had some issues that she's had to deal with in her life, and she's a little flighty.
Sure. Flighty, like
she literally
will leave the stove on, or flighty, like she won't pick you up from school one day because she forgot.
Flighty, like she will threaten to run away from home and then do it.
Sounds like someone I know across from me right now.
I know.
I'm really not trying to do therapy. It's just really interesting now that you tell me your mom would threaten to run away and you've been running away for a long time.
She would just look at me like, that's it. I'm running away from home. And then she'd be gone.
She would leave.
And my dad would have to, like, be like, all right, well, gonna drop you off at the parent at my parents' house and
to go find her.
Go find mom and
wow,
that was it. That was always how it worked.
Yeah,
and she didn't run away because she hated us. Like, she didn't regret her life and her choices. She just
needed a break.
She just needs to recharge, and that's how she would do it.
Where does she go? Like the bar?
I have no idea where. No, she didn't drink. It wasn't like she was a.
Oh.
She would just go to the beach.
Isn't that crazy that the beach? Is that for a lot of people that, like, I gotta get to the beach?
Yeah,
I'm from San Diego. I never got it. That's why I had to get the fuck out of there. I don't get it. I don't get – fuck you and your beach.
That's what it is for me, though, man. Just,
oh, I gotta be by the beach. Hey, bro, I gotta get those waves. Like, you gotta get the fuck out of my face. Maybe I just don't – it's not tangible to me, the beach. The beach is like – it's a beautiful sight, but I'm one of these guys that I want to look at the beach from my pool. Like, I could totally live by the beach if I could be in the pool and look at the beach.
Right.
I don't need to be on that beach camping.
Right.
I don't need to be Danny LaRusso, Karate Kid, kicking sand in that beach.
I mean, I guess not.
I don't got to be that guy.
I have to be that person.
So she would get lost at the beach.
Yeah, and she would just go, and it would just be... I mean, I think that's how my sister and I are the way we are, is we can just go in a second. I can pack in 20 minutes and be gone.
Yeah.
I can pack up my entire life. There was a point where I could pack up my entire life in an hour and a half and be out of an apartment with everything that I owned in my car and just gone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the back end of that, where I've been like that before. And I'm not saying that I need to fucking be in a stable place. I think at the end of the day, it is nice to go, I know where I'm going to be for 4 months. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's a really nice feeling.
Yeah.
And it sounds crazy to, like, people out there that lead pretty conventional lives, because they hear me say that and they're like, 4 months? I mean, I've been at the same job for 20 years, which is great. Good for you. In this economic downturn, it's great if you can hold any job for any amount of time. Point is this. I like going, I could have some shit, but I do this really great thing where, really great, I'm being ironic, where I don't have too much shit. Okay. Like, I've been a guy that could pack, like, any job I've ever had, I could leave my desk and be like, I gotta go. Because I've been fired so much.
Yeah.
And I fucking, even here, like, this is the most shit I've ever had. But also, I've made a home. I'm trying to make a home.
Right.
Because I'm a fucking adult, and it's nice to have a home. Mm. It's also nice to have some shit. And be like, yeah, look, now I got some shit.
Yeah.
Now the poor kid has some shit. What are you going to do? And that's why when I made, like, a little bit of money, I was like, I looked at the stuff I was buying. I don't know if you did this, if whenever you come into money, but you probably don't, but I buy dumb shit.
Oh.
I got thousands of dollars of sneakers on the way. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?
Because you don't have it.
Because I've never had it before. Everything I wanted when I was 10, I have in this house now. It's a dream.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And none of it has any value. Like, I got a Muppet. Like, what the fuck do I need a Muppet for? Because I'm 10.
That is amazing, though. But, like,
you approve of Pantangeli?
100% approve.
So this is where, for some of you guys that have heard the show, and I had Craig Sheeman on, Graves loves Muppets. Her favorite Muppet is Gonzo,
yes,
correct?
Yeah, I identify with him more than any human.
Because he fucks chickens,
yes,
and so does Graves.
That's why.
She can't wait to fuck a chicken. In fact, she's leaving here and fucking chickens. So I had Craig on the show, and I was telling her, like, oh, my God, like, my buddy Craig's done the radio show, and he's, like, head of the Jim Henson Legacy, and we were nerding out.
Oh, yeah.
We are nerds.
It's true.
We are secret nerds. But that need to be spooned constantly. Like, my fragileness and your fragileness need to constantly be spooned.
It's true.
We're yelling and screaming. Next thing you know, spoon me. This is...
Yeah, that's also how that goes.
This is who we are, folks.
All right.
So do you have a hard time keeping men around? Not like they're leaving you, but you're leaving them?
Because
it must translate into your relationships for the sometimes.
I mean, I'm just crazy, so I think that it's between the two of us. I don't know if either of us can stand each other.
How are you crazy? Be specific for everybody.
I mean, I like things a certain way, you know.
Well,
I like things
all?
Like super passionate.
Very vague for specific person.
I'm super passionate. I like to have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And then have to deal with the repercussions, and that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, right now I have somebody who, like, is cool with everything that I'm about, but
which is helpful.
Yeah, but in the past, like, it would be 3:00 in the morning, and I'd be like, all right, well, let's go to Maryland and, mm-hmm. like, go get some crabs, and they come off the boat, and we'll drive back and go to work in the morning. They'd be mm-hmm. like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Let's watch Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, no, let's not do that. I'm just going to go by myself then. Like,
that's some shit you would do?
Yeah. Well, my mom used to do that to us all the time. It would be midnight. I'd be 7 years old. It's midnight.
You got to go to school.
Pack us into the car. We'd go get crabs off of a boat in Maryland. And come back in time.
What is it with crabs?
She just really likes them. She's like really, I don't know.
I don't know if I like anything to drive all the way across the state.
I guess.
I mean, I almost thought you were going to say crack. That would be the only thing. I'd be like, oh, you got to get your crack. There's no way around it.
I mean, I guess.
So you pose nude.
Yes.
Okay. So you come from this background that's kind of... edgy. Let's call it edgy. It's an edgy background.
Yeah.
You kind of fly by the seat of your pants in this upbringing.
Uh-huh.
And you do that currently.
Right.
Do you think being able to pose nude, that's kind of why you're able to do that and be so free with it?
I guess so.
Because you don't pose nude like some Playboy playmate. You're very artistic the way you pose nude. You're very natural with them posing nude. It doesn't seem unorganic. It doesn't seem, you know how you look like some of these shots these girls take where it's like, oh, so this guy props you up like a mannequin and or this person who filmed, like, you know, whatever. Your shit's very, it's very loose and connected. It's like you're ready to, it's like for real.
Yeah.
You think it's because of your upbringing you're able to do that? Because that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I think everybody in the modern era has suffered with body issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, the way that we dealt with it in our family, my mom used to do this thing where we would go through our closets every month and get rid of clothes that didn't fit us anymore, because she never wanted us to have the mentality that one day I'll be able to fit into that.
Sure.
So it was just like very, very natural to just be okay with my body. Like, even when I wasn't okay with my body, I was okay being naked, because what else do you have?
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying this is, I mean, don't get her wrong. I mean, she looks pretty good. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Of course she's fucking okay with it. She's not 600 pounds coming over here talking about okay with her body. Yes, I get it. I get what you're saying. I like that, though. I think that's really a strong message for everybody to say, hey, I'm okay with my body. Now, let me ask you a question. Follow this woman, this young lady named Ariel Winter or something or whatever. She is on the show Modern Family. She got her breast reduced, and now she's like the body, female body image girl, like poster girl right now, which I'm okay with. That's great. There was this sign that she posted on her Twitter that a school had posted saying, basically, girls get sent home for showing the midriff and having low-cut tops. And she was like, how about you just teach boys not to look at them as sexual objects? It was very, like, Miss Feminist, which I see what she's trying to say here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being a man who's been in school, being a man who's dealt with sex addiction, being a 13-year-old boy before, if your breasts are hanging out at school and I'm trying to learn, I'm probably not going to learn. And I would assume that if my dick and balls were hanging out, you might look, right?
Yeah.
You don't think?
I think so, but I think it's a little different than that.
In what sense, though? Like, I mean, I'm all for, like, hey.
I mean, I think it's not teaching people – I think it's not teaching kids about sex appeal. It's more about teaching them about responsibility. Like, yeah, that's what boobs look like.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
exist everywhere. They're going to be everywhere forever.
Sure.
So, like, get over it and get on with your life.
I would usually agree with you on that point. It's the problem I have is we live in the United States of America where sex is taboo because that makes more money. The more dirty we make sex, the more money we make. Therefore, everything is sexualized. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you an example. I was in Paris. I was hanging out. I was talking to this girl, totally wearing a beautiful dress. She looked great. She was showing a little skin. But Parisian woman, very comfortable with herself. Very comfortable. She wants to be different. She didn't want to be like other Parisians, right? She wants to be different. That's a very big thing in their culture. Now, come back home in the States, sitting in a car with this older lady. We're driving. These girls are waiting in line in Chelsea to get in some fucking club. And they're wearing like nothing. And they're probably 21. And it hit me that they're doing that a lot of times because they see Rihanna or whoever. Let's pick whoever the fuck you want out of the hat, right? They don't understand that maybe that's giving an impression that it shouldn't give. Like, if I saw you, you and I were hanging out, and you were dressed kind of crazy, I'd be like, oh, maybe this person's crazy, right? Maybe. And like, they don't know what they're selling, right? That's selling sexuality.
Right. But I mean,
you better know how to fuck me. That's all I'm saying. We should know. If I walked around going, I have this great dick, please look at this great dick, and then you got me to your house, and I had a terrible dick, you'd be like, dude, why do you got a terrible dick? You're promoting your dick.
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, all I'm saying to this, guys, I see I'm losing you. But the point is, I think at some point, I realize you're like ultra feminist. But at some point, if you're going to project a certain image about yourself, just like if I dressed like I was homeless and people kept going, hey, are you homeless? And then I got mad. It would be weird for me to get mad.
I mean, but you're in school for so much of your life that it's just such an easy thing to start instilling in children from a young age. That, like, bodies are bodies, and they're come in all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even have to have anything to do with sex. And why should a girl have to be uncomfortable in a hot classroom all day because the guy behind her can't?
I don't think it's that literal. I think it's, like, literally what the sign was saying is it was, like, midriff. Stuff that just wasn't like...
I know, but I used to get sent home from school all the time for not
wearing... Oh, I believe that.
Thank you. but it would be like, my shorts are too short, or... And it was never... It was actually never about the boys that I was in school with. It was about my teachers.
Sure.
Which was even creepier.
I think they should send kids... Like, if I'm a dude wearing a tank top, I want... Put a shirt on. I don't want your fucking pit sweat all over my desk. This is, I'm saying for dudes too. Dudes need to wear shirts. Don't wear your fucking, your stinky pits are all over my desk. Put a fucking shirt on. That's called dress code. Your balls are hanging out of your shorts. I'm reporting you. I'm sorry. There's actually a guy at the gym.
Well, you could be a sexual, or what is it? You have to register as a sex offender if you get arrested for that one. So.
See, isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
That my balls are so offensive that I could be a sex offender because of them.
It's really sad.
I had a guy at the gym that was doing push-ups, and he was doing elevated push-ups, and he refused to wear underwear, and his dick kept, and his balls kept coming out. I was like, dude, you gotta stop. Not because I'm scared of your dick or, oh, it's too much for me, the human body. No, it's because I'm working out, and the last thing I want to do is see your fucking dick and balls dragging along the padded floor.
All right. I understand what you're saying. There's so many layers to it.
I agree with you, though. I don't think women should be put on the spot to have to be a certain way so a man doesn't get offended or get too sexual about it. I think that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But there is a common courtesy here where if you're wearing short shorts as a man and your dick is touching the seat and I have to go sit in that seat later, I got a problem with that.
That's okay. That I understand. That's personal hygiene, though.
But that's the same thing with everything else. If your breasts are hanging out, if your ass is hanging out.
I've literally never been in a situation where my boobs are hanging on top of a desk and they're sweating.
Have you seen some people's sweaty boobs? You live in New York.
I've seen sweaty boobs.
They're all over the place.
I get it. I'm just, it's not that big a deal. They're just fucking boobs.
I agree with you. They're not that big of a deal. I think men should stop buying drinks at clubs because they're looking at cleavage. I think you're idiots. I think all men are dumb for being impressed by that. That is stupid.
And then you're just perpetuating the idea.
Yes, now you're promoting it.
Everybody's self-worth is based on how big their boobs are.
The fucking buck stops here. All you assholes. All you fucking pricks out there. Stop buying the drinks. Buy a drink of someone's good personality, all right? Yeah. Talk to them. There's too many not smart people making too much money right now off of social media because you shitbags keep hitting the like button. Stop it. Make them do something interesting. Read a poem. Read a great book. Be funny. Do something interesting. You can be pretty. You can be handsome, but do something with it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And keep your balls off my seat. All
right. I got it. No balls on the seat.
That's my favorite conversation I've ever had on the show. I just wanted to take it as far as I could, because I know that Graves is, like, super, like, pro-body and pro-female. I was like, let me just see what path we can go on. So you're – ooh, okay. How do I approach this?
Uh-oh.
You're a person that truly, truly believes in – untraditional things.
Okay, yes.
How is it that you love untraditional things because you're like, fuck, because I don't ever want to be traditional and that's the fight I have? Or is it more like, this is just the way it works out? Like, if it came across like being untraditional was to be married, would you, and be like Stepford wife, would you do that if it was going so opposite to what the trend was? Would you do it?
Probably not.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So what is it? Like, what scares you or doesn't scare you or turns you off or sickens you about anything that's traditional? Let's start with marriage.
I actually like.
You want to get married.
Yeah.
You want to have it your way.
Yeah.
You want to have it your way in the sense that you can have a relationship that's pretty untraditional under traditional umbrellas.
Yes.
Okay.
I really just hate that it's a mold that you have to fit in. That's all. Like, I like to have different outlets for it.
You don't like to be told what to do. Even if it's the proverbial, you have to do this. You're angry at that.
Exactly.
No one's told you what to do. You're simply just angry at things that are in place.
You think, like, your teenage angst will go away, but it just amplifies.
The more knowledge, the more angry I get.
Yeah.
The more I know, the more I get angry.
And the more helpless I feel.
And I go to all these towns where people, you know, no offense, but some of you don't know shit. And it's almost like ignorance is bliss. And then you're talking to people and you can see their fucking eyes glaze over when you start talking about real issues about things.
Yes.
And you're like, I gotta go. I'm getting paid to talk to you and I can't even do it. I don't want to do it. I want to quit.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay the bills today. I'm going to quit. But so You like marriage. What's something traditional that you are like, I'm not doing that, I would never do that?
I mean, job's a good one.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a pretty open relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the things. I don't like labels on things.
Sure.
It makes me really uncomfortable. It's the biggest way to get me to run away from something is to tell me that I have to fit in some little box and just deal with it and not get to have a say in it because I'm a huge control freak.
You fit into, you know, using the word boxy is not a good word, but you fit into a certain culture, though. I mean, your look, like your...
Yeah, but it wasn't like that forever, always. Like, it's the last 3 years people have really... I mean, the aesthetic of what I... of me is much more accepted the last 3 years than it's ever been ever
before. Do you get irritated when you see women that look like you?
Not at all.
Do you want to, like, fuck them up?
Not really. Only when they're really dumb. Like, and I don't really... Because I don't want to do the girl and girl hatred thing. I'm so against it. I want to root for everybody.
That's the thing. It doesn't work that way. Anytime an extreme comes into play, you've lost. If you're extreme one way or extreme the other way, there are some good people. There are some terrible people.
There are terrible
There are some dumb people. There are some smart people. I mean, just the way it works has nothing to do with someone being male or female. If you're fucking stupid, you're stupid. There's no way around it.
I just don't talk to people. I think that's how I do it.
You talk to a lot of people.
But you're a huge contradiction.
You're a walking, talking contradiction.
No, but like I talk to people because I can use my mouth and I like to talk.
You can use your mouth.
But I think
I have no idea. Honestly, I was just making it.
But I don't talk to people about real things a lot. Like
you're a good small talker.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
I hate small talk.
I'm fucking blowing my face off.
Uh-huh.
Let's get off the air and talk about nothing. Just small talk and see who dies first.
I think it'll be me.
Love you. Always have to win. This is the best. This is how dominant she is. Like, this is what I don't get. Like, I'm a dominant person. So when I like, when I was busting balls about, oh, she's meet me in person and maybe she doesn't like me. You're all right. Don't worry. You're all right. Let's move forward. Move. It's my show. Move forward. Fucking body language. All right. Plug where people can find you. Because I want them to go find you, follow you, buy stuff, hire you. Go.
Okay. I have Snapchat.
Give them the name of it.
Graves with two V's. GRAVVES00.
Okay.
And then I also have an Instagram.
Same.
Same thing.
00 as well?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's not 00 at all. It's just Graves.
Just Graves. Two V's. So they should go there.
They should follow you.
You got any projects coming up? Anything they should look out for? Do you have a website? No, not yet. Not needed yet?
Not needed yet. Okay. I just did a Suicide Girl shoot.
Cool.
So it's like the member review thing.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
All right.
Did
you have fun?
Yeah.
You glad you came?
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty incredible.
Yeah, you are. Fantastic.
She's so lying. She just fortune told me.
No.
She just put the tarot card to the asshole. This is the asshole card. And it looks like this is in your future forever. Bye, have fun. We had a good one.
Yeah.
You should do it again. When you really get a grip on your feminism, bring it back.
On my feminism?
So good.
Oh, God.
All right, I'll talk. That's Graves. Make sure you guys go follow Graves at all of her social media sites and enjoy the view.
You know what I mean. Enjoy the view.
sorry. I know why I did that. Thank you, Graves. Great guest. Awesome person. If you're listening, you're amazing. Also, if any of you work for the Apple Store, call me or send an email to slampickpodcast@gmail.com. For some reason, I can't get that fucking echo off the end of my shows. It's recorded in mono. This sucks. I want to be famous, so I have a fucking engineer, so I don't have to deal with this fucking shit anymore. But besides that, everything's great. A lot of cool stuff coming up. My film Devoured got into the new Filmmakers of New York Alt Festival. Hurrah, hurrah. It's another film making another festival, independently produced by yours truly, written and directed by yours truly. That's right. all kinds of stuff. I'm doing all kinds of stuff out here by myself, sitting alone. You can follow me at Josh Ricardo. You can follow the pages at Slant Big Podcast. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. Okay? And you can see pictures of the guests. So, I think that's it. I don't know. I don't know. I have a very special show coming up in the next 2 weeks where I'm going to be just talking about me for the 45 minutes, which I'll reveal to you all the stuff I've been going through and maybe some things you didn't know about me, which I think could be interesting and funny at my expense. So make sure you guys stay make sure you guys stay tuned into the show and subscribe. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm really angry, though. Subscribe. Tell a friend. Do something for yourself and for me at the same time. You'll enjoy it. I appreciate it. Also, I've been on the Artie Link podcast a lot, so if you guys listen to that, that's me. That's me. All right, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you for listening.